Is it time to sell Davante Adams in fantasy? What about some players that you need to trade for heading into the fantasy football trade deadline? And hey, who are some of the biggest surprises heading into week 9 at the midway point of the fantasy football season? All that and more coming up on Eckler's Edge. It's Wednesday, November 1st. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, the first day of November, and joining me to do just that is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
What is going on? Yes, indeed, we're back for another show. And before we get going, I know everyone that's listening wants to ask, Matt, are you participating in No Shave November?
Oh, I mean, I already have a beard. I actually we're recording this, by the way, not in November, you know, spoiler alert. I actually just trimmed a little off the mustache here, like a tiny little bit of the edge here. Probably not, to be honest. Are you?
Keeping it clean? I am not. But
well, keeping it clean. I mean, I've already got a beard every single day of my life.
But that is a clean kept. You could tell it's a well-kept beard. You can tell that, you know, that is a face and a beard for, you know, podcasts and TV. So, I didn't know. I was just curious because I know there's going to be some wacky mustaches coming in to the facility. I'm going to see people that I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing? It's No Shave November. And then they get mad at me because they're like, why aren't you getting in the camaraderie? I'm just like, I don't know. I'd go.
Have you ever gone just the stash?
I've never gone just the stash. That's what I would look
like, I
think
like, it might
be good.
Well, I mean, it looked better than the no eyebrows look, that's for sure. But I think you might be able to pull off, because it looks like, you know, now that I'm like staring into the screen here to see what you look like really up close. I think you'd look good. Now for me, see, like, this is not a good look. I think just the stash. It's not a powerful enough mustache for me to pull that off. So I'm going to stick with the full beard. Actually, ironically, Austin, when they put out the trailer for, hey, Eckler's Edge is back for another season, you know, I was looking at some of the clips and I showed the video to my wife. I'm like, yo, why didn't you tell me that? You know, that's just how I talk to my wife, like, for sure. Yo, why didn't you tell me that my beard looked like crap all last year? I mean, it was so long and unkempt. And she's like, I kind of tried to tell you that, man. So that actually inspired me to keep it a little more clean this year.
Yeah. Well, shout out to anyone that's participated in No Shave November and grown a mean mustache. Yeah, I know we have some of our trainers that can curl them. They can curl the mustache. It's pretty cool. But anyway, let's get into some fantasy chat.
All right. Now I'm kind of stuck on what you might look like with a mustache. So, all right, let's keep it moving here. Let's get into it. First of all, Austin, congratulations to you coming off a big win by the Chargers. Big performance by you as a receiver. You helped not my fantasy team in our league, but you helped a lot of people out there with 123 all-purpose yards. You should have had 100 yards receiving, man, but you had the one play where you got tackled behind the line and went under 100. But hey, shout out to you. Big game there in week 8.
Man. Well, actually, I've been hearing a lot about this. It's not really funny because I can't fumble the ball, but I have been getting blasted with DMs.
Oh, no.
Bro. If you wouldn't have fumbled, I would have won. Like, oh, I'm just like, man, look, as a skill position player, we are devastated when we fumble just because the whole organization relies on us carrying that ball, right? Our coaches, the players, organization, the fans, yourselves, and the fantasy as well. And so, yeah, I felt that. So even though we were up by, you know, 3 scores at the time and it really didn't matter, I know I'm still feeling terrible for that fumble because I know it definitely made some implications out there. But hey, you know, this is why we love this, because it's anything can happen. You know, I'm sure there's some people that are excited that I fumbled. But yeah, man. So if that happened to you, sorry if that made some implications with me fumbling the ball. But hey, it felt good to get a win. That was what was most important for us out there. So yes, and now it's one at a time. Try to do it again in another primetime game.
Hey, let me ask you this, just to, since we're talking about fumbling, and I'm curious because this is a big talking point on like football Twitter and like in the media and stuff. there's a lot of people that have really strong feelings about the rule when you fumble at the goal line and it goes out of the end zone and it becomes a touchback. Some people are like, it's the stupidest rule of all time. It needs to be changed. People have really strong feelings about it. What is your stance on the fact that when you fumble at the goal line, you get it goes back to the team, get touchback, like as opposed to, you know, any other time you fumble on the field, it goes out of bounds right there.
Well, I mean, so what would be the alternative?
Like some people want it to be, I think you can tell where I stand on this issue by the way I'm asking the question. I think it's a good rule. Like, don't fumble out of the freaking end zone. Like, if you fumble at the end zone, you should be punished for it.
Yeah, it's a touchback. That's where they got the ball. Just as if they, you know, if it was a punt that went to the end zone or a, you know, kickoff that goes into the end zone, it's touchback. So, yeah, I agree. I agree as well.
Yeah, people think it should like go back to the 1 yard line. I'm like, yo, if you fumble at the biggest part of
You can't do that. No.
Going across the goal line, like, you need to be penalized for that. It should be drilled into your head. Yeah. So
okay. Everyone carrying the football out there, don't fumble. That's my advice.
All right, I had to heat check. Yeah, heat check that one with you. I was just curious off the top of my head. Anyways, yeah. So you guys have another big performance Monday Night Football against the Jets. These island games are very helpful for me personally so that I can keep track of the Chargers as best as possible. So I appreciate the schedule maker on that one. Like I mentioned, though, real quick on our fantasy team, Austin.
Yeah.
It's not going well for you, boy.
Look, man.
We
were talking about this before the show. Well, first off, my team won. Yes, we're, you know, like 7-1, 6-1 or whatever, 2 or whatever it is. Six and two. We're at the top. We're not worried about it. We got a lot of studs that are balling out. But Matt is down in the pack. He's what we call in the hunt. I guess you could say. And look, you're not out. So don't be discouraged. You know, like, you could say you're kind of in the same spot that, you know, my team is, you know, the Chargers right now. And it's like, okay, we're not discouraged because guess what? There's a lot of football left to be played. Yeah, we have a losing record. But guess what? We got some time to make it up. And so guess what? So do you. And it doesn't mean your players, you know, are going to continue to play the way they've been playing or you're going to coach the way you've been coaching. But hey, there's moves to be made. And yeah, you can never give up until it's over. That's the athlete mindset, right? If there's time, there's a chance. So.
Yeah, I'm currently one game out of the playoffs. 7 teams make the playoffs, actually. The one seed gets a bye the first week 15 of our playoffs. So I need to step it up. And like I said to you, man, when we played each other, which was the start of my losing streak, which is super cool. absolutely love that. Like, again, I got my best player, theoretically, in fantasy, which is it's either you or Jalen Hurts. You were my first pick, right? But I have been the one screwing up ever since. Like, I can't get my wide receiver 3 decision right. I can't get my running back 2 decision right. Like,
so, you know, what happened this week?
Comes into this game. I mean, now, yeah, let's just complain about my problems.
Was there a better decision that you could have made?
Yes.
What was it? Like,
so I have Tyler Lockett in a lot of leagues. And he was coming into this game as a game time decision, right? So
yep.
I'm sitting there on Sunday morning and I'm thinking to myself, I think, and he's a late game too. He was a 4:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So like had to make the decision early.
Yep.
I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to not play him in this league, but I'm going to play him in a couple other leagues so that if he doesn't have a big game, like, I'm a little insulated from it. Unfortunately, in this one, I decide not to play him. And he, you know, gets 8 catches, 81 yards and a touchdown. Like, I should have played him over Marquise Brown, who had an okay game. He was fine. He scored a touchdown, but still it was like an 8-point difference between them. Couple that to that. I absolutely cannot figure out who to start between Zach Moss and Alexander Mattison every single week. I never guess that one right. So, look, I just got to, like you said, keep chopping wood, keep at it and try to make the playoffs in this thing.
Well, you have options. And the good part of that is options that are actually performing. So there you go. I would say there's worse spots you could be in where it's like, hey, my team, no one is doing anything or they're all injured. And then, hey, at least you have the opportunity to win some of these games. So like I said, actually it was like a couple years ago. I was playing in one of my 16 team leagues with the foundation and the guy who ended up winning it had like a record of, it was like, he was like 6-7 or 6-8 or whatever. He had a losing record. It ended up making the playoffs, squeaking in. He was that last spot and ended up winning it all. So I think that's when I went on. He had me on his team. And then it was when I went on that streak and had like 3 or 4 games of like 25 plus points. So, yeah, you never know, man. But you got time, man. You got time. So all of you guys out there, that are on the fringe. Do not get discouraged, even though it's easy just to kind of be like, ah, man, I'm down. But hey, you stay mentally strong, just like we do out there in the field, and you push through. You push through. You find a way and change it up. And when it's over, then okay, now you can reflect. But right now, it's time to get in the lab and figure it out. So you got this, Matt. I'm rooting for you, man. I really am. And not just because you have me on your team and that means I need to do well, but because, you know, you're my guy.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the pep talk because it is something I try to tell people all the time. It's like what happened, and this is true in real football and it's true in fantasy football because fantasy football obviously trickled down from real football. What is the reality and what is the truth here at the end of October, early November might not be the truth in December, right? Like these stretches. And when we look back at the end of season stats and it's like, oh, this guy had 1,000 yards. Well, when did most of those 1,000 yards happen? Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. Like there's just, there's a whole variety of things that can happen, right? And just pockets of the season can be very different. So for some of these guys that have been solid performers, but maybe not hit their stride just yet, that can change. You also have some of the power in your own hands out there as fantasy football managers, including myself. You can make trades, you can make waiver claims, and you can do something to try to get your team in a position to be the hot team late. So with that, Austin, let's move into our mailbag segment of the week. Austin had the great idea to do a mailbag segment. I suggested we talk about trades, right? The trade deadline for the actual NFL is happening literally as we speak. The trade deadline is coming up, but fantasy football trade deadline is not until November 18th in Yahoo standard format. So you've got time to make deals. So Austin actually suggested I reach out to the bright folks of my Discord. And I did a little bit of that, a little bit of Twitter, solicited folks that people are looking to trade away right now and people that they are looking to acquire in fantasy. So let's save the positive for a second. Let's start off with a little bit of negative here. People that the folks are trying to trade away in fantasy right now. Let's see if we decide to think this is a good idea or not. And this first one pertains to your team, actually. Matt B., from my Discord said that he is trying to sell Davante Adams and he's close to selling Chris Olave. The problem is you can never get the value that you hold for them because you know their ceiling, right? Like that's the difficult part here. You actually have Davante Adams on your team. And let me tell you what, watching that game last night with the Raiders, that was not fun. That was not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it really does suck because when you have a guy that's playing at or who has the ceiling like you know this person said, you're really excited for what this person can do. But when you see them not even get close and get one catch, and you know like okay, Davante Adams, you know if he continues on the tear that he's been, you know going to be in the Hall of Fame, and it's like man, come on, like I'm like come on, like I know he's so good, like can we get this man the ball somehow, like shoot, throw it up to him, this man makes some crazy catches, and they tried that and it was a pick, you know, in the end zone. And so yeah, that is frustrating. And so yeah, I think it's honestly a solid choice, you know, for a trade away because people do know the ceiling and that's your leverage, you know? So even though you know the ceiling could be high, that's exactly what someone else is thinking as well. And that's why you would be able to trade that person away, in my opinion, because it's like, okay, this guy can go off and, you know, have a few touchdowns and 100 yards easily. And so whoever you're trading to has to have some value and you're not going to ever be able to trade away somebody who maybe doesn't bring that type of ceiling or isn't, you know, as exciting of a player. And so I think that's why it's the perfect, cause it's like, hey, their team's been struggling and guess what? Davante Adams, we know what type of player he is regardless of the team that he's on. And so there is that potential for them to pop off. So if someone needs a receiver, I like it. I like it. I'm not looking to trade him away. Cause I just need that receiver spot, but I don't necessarily have, it's all, there's a lot of scenarios in there, but as far as a candidate to trade away, I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to cash in on that name brand value before things potentially get worse, right? Like the vibes are just very bad around the Raiders. And frankly, this whole thing with Chris Olave is interesting too, cause he doesn't provide quite the same name brand value. Olave was a really good rookie receiver last year. He went over 1,000 yards. I think he has the ability. My personal opinion is that I think he has the ability to be like a top 10 receiver in the NFL with the way when he's hot to that he separates the big play ability that he brings. But also, again, my opinion is he has not played to that level so far this year. Even when you look at him outside of like the weird chemistry issues with Chris Olave and Derek Carr, a new quarterback wide receiver connection and some of the just again, guy just recently got arrested, right? Like there's some strange stuff going on there. So I don't know. My question to you about that though is like, when we talk about like these guys don't have a good chemistry, these guys aren't quite on the same page, right? And like you saw Jimmy Garoppolo miss Davante Adams on these like wide open go routes, you know, streaking down the field potentially for big plays, and they just weren't there. What does that mean when it's like, oh, these guys just aren't on the same page? Is there an easy fix to that in season?
Man, it's such a loaded question because there's so many factors that could be playing, you know, at bay here where it's like, is there a lot of pressure from the O-line? And maybe, you know, that's not the read. That's not where we're going first. That's not where that play was designed. Maybe he's not seeing it that way. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable making that throw. And so there's so many different factors that play into, you know, the flow of the game and who's getting the ball. And obviously we know, Davante Adams is a dynamic player. And so they're going to try to get this man the ball. And so I really can't answer that question, unfortunately, because they know over there he's a stud, right? And they're trying to get him the ball. It's not like they're like, Davante, you know, we'll put him third in the progression. No, they're definitely going to be putting him one or two in probably every single progression. And, you know, guess what? Defenses aren't dumb either. We're doubling this team. We're doubling this man. You know, if Davante is lined up anywhere on the field, we're going to have two bodies around him. We're not going to let this guy, you know, we call him game wreckers. We're not going to let this guy wreck the game because he's one of those guys that has that capability. And if your quarterback's struggling and now he's got to throw through the double coverage, it's another factor that could be playing, you know, on it. So, and is anyone else getting open? Is anyone else going to be a factor? And if they're not, then even more that we can put around Davante because we feel good with our one-on-one matchups over here. So, it's like maybe there's other positions that need to step up. I know Josh is trying to do his part running the ball. I think that was their most successful drive that they had, you know, that we saw on Monday night was Josh running the ball. But it's got to be more than that. You know, you can't win games consistently like that in the NFL. And that shows. And I think they're looking for that next. Well, I guess they have, who do they have? I keep forgetting his name. Is number
Jacoby
11?
Myers. Jacoby Myers. 16. Yeah.
So they've been a pretty good complement to each other. But we just really didn't see that, you know, Monday night. And so the thing is, they definitely have the potential. Like they've had a few games where, you know, Devontae's popped off. And so like, it's still there. It's still there. It might've been one of those games where it was like, hey, we just weren't clicking that night too. So back again to the question, I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, maybe pick up, you know, a different receiver who maybe has shown some more consistency, or maybe pick up a running back or a different position that you may need, getting rid of receiver, for Davante. I think it's great candidate.
I always struggle with like selling low on these guys, right? Like if they're kind of, especially like a Monday night game when we all saw that, like you're going to try to get rid of them at the lowest point when everybody has that. Like, it's no secret, right? Everybody saw that game. It's primetime game, right? So I always struggle with that, especially with these guys and I'm not saying this is the right thing. I just know for me personally, like, I know and I envision that ceiling. So maybe I'm the sucker that you try to trade a guy like Davante Adams too. Let's actually stick in that game. And another person that somebody suggested was feeling that the Jahmyr Gibbs thing will be a flash in the pan, and wonder what Austin's thoughts are, whether his usage will change with David Montgomery when he comes back from injury. Not a dissimilar situation to the one that he had with Melvin Gordon when he broke out. It's kind of hard to put the genie back in the bottle. Or is this the time to sell Jahmyr Gibbs high? Jahmyr Gibbs, we've talked a lot on the show. 26 carries last night against the Raiders, 152 yards and a touchdown. He also caught five passes as well for 37 yards. So he's really, I think, taken a step forward the last couple games with David Montgomery out of the mix. But Montgomery was so good for them. That might be a moment to maybe sell him high before Montgomery gets back. But oof. I don't know.
Ooh, man. You know, I would say when you're playing at that high level, and just the way that the Lions play, like a lot of their offense goes through their running game or their running backs just in general. You know, if you look at David Montgomery's touches just over the past few weeks when he was healthy, you know, it's high 20s. You know, he had 30 in there one time. So they're getting the ball to their running backs and they're saying, hey, this is who we are. This is their identity. And when you have a team like that, there's probably going to be multiple runners in that scheme, which they exactly have. And, you know, we used to have that. We weren't necessarily give our running backs the ball, you know, 30 times plus a game. But hey, it might have been with me in the passing game as well, with Melvin Gordon in the running game. And there was a combination that we have that I think we could see in their own way with the Lions, with Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery.
No, I honestly, there might be an opportunity to maybe sell Montgomery high, because the hope is like, oh, he's coming back, he's going to get that same workload. But he might not necessarily get that same workload, because now Jahmyr Gibbs has forced it maybe into a 50-50. I don't know. You could look at it both directions.
Yeah, I think in either way, I think they're going to be getting their share, which we kind of saw that. It was more so on the Montgomery side, leaning more heavily. But I think down the road, I think, yeah, we could see it more, maybe even more of like a, hey, who's hot kind of game.
Right.
Where it's like, hey, we're going to get both of you guys the ball, but whoever's, you know, clicking that day is going to get maybe, you know, 60% instead of, you know, 50-50, 60, maybe it's a 60-40 split. But I see these guys getting, because, man, Jahmyr Gibbs so dynamic, man. And we saw that just with his playmaking ability. And so, man, it's, yeah, like you said, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. You know, I saw it with Justin Herbert, right? When Tyrod had his thing and Justin started playing, I was like, man, like, this guy, he's our first round pick and he's a stud. And then he ended up pretty much just forcing his way into the starting role. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be like that, because it's a different position with the running back, but definitely think they're both going to get a good amount of a burn. And we might even see it even more now, you know, just because, hey, now we got both these guys back. Now we can really become that identity of, you know, ground pound. And then, you know, rely on, you know, some of our passing game a little bit later on.
Makes a lot of sense to me. All right, let's move on to another one here. Stringer sends in, I'm looking to move off of Tony Pollard because they aren't scheming him the way the Chargers scheme Austin Eckler, actually. They are running him more on some of those man gap stuff this year instead of last year when he was mostly running outside zone concepts. Right now, I prefer Alvin Kamara. Tony Pollard's interesting, man. He's been kind of a disappointing pick for sure in fantasy. And I can't quite figure out why, Austin. And I don't know. You think he's like a guy they could scheme touches for in a way like that? Again, you make such a big impact in the passing game, right? We saw that against the Bears. We just talked about it. What does it take for a running back to be able to do some of the stuff that you can contribute in the pass game?
Yeah, Tony Pollard, you know, from my opinion, it hasn't been necessarily to the expectation that everyone had for him because of what we saw last year. And, you know, we have an offensive coordinator now over with the Chargers. And so that definitely probably is playing some type of factors. Like, okay, how do I optimize, you know, our players? You know, it's not just Tony Pollard, it's going to be the entire offense. And so there is some type of learning curve that has to happen there with the transition of, okay, an offensive coordinator has his offense, you know, okay, let me make sure that, hey, like we're doing this, you know, in a way that works and using our guys to the maximum. And, you know, we saw that, you know, maybe even last year or last week with me, where it was like, hey, let's get this guy the ball more in the passing game, see what happens. Cause that's where he's ended up making most of his plays. And it's not like he hasn't performed, you know, terribly. Like, I mean, he's had some solid games. Yeah. Hey, he's been playing in some tough games too, you know, against the 49ers, against, you know, our defense. And so like, there's teams where it's like, hey, maybe you're just not as good of a matchup for this game for us. And so I would say, as far as getting into the passing game, I think it's got to be a plan going into the games. And if they feel like, hey, this is where we can lean on him more, then they'll start putting him in there, maybe getting some screens, things like that going. But I think it's a game plan thing. And so for a guy like Tony, I think it's a guy that I wouldn't trade, just because I know they do rely on him over there. Like, they're going to get him the ball. And he's their guy, and that, you know, that's why they paid him, put him on the franchise tag for this year. And but it's a different scenario, right? He doesn't have Zeke over there anymore. He doesn't have that two-headed kind of, you know, duo. And so there is a different dynamic, you know, just in his scenario. But still a player that I don't know. He's going to be somewhat consistent. It's been a little bit jumpy at times right now, but, you know, I think he's on a good team who's going to continue to play at a high level. And so I would have a hard time trading him away.
He's tough too, because he doesn't have, even if he was drafted high this year, he doesn't have the same name brand value as a guy like Davante Adams, because Adams is like a proven multiple time all pro. There was a lot of optimism and buzz with Tony Pollard, but I think if you are selling him right now, you are selling him at his lowest possible value. And I think you can tell yourself a story just like you did, Austin. You tell yourself a story where, all right, this changes around. The farther he gets into the season, the farther he gets away from that broken ankle that he or broken leg that he had in the playoffs, right, against the 49ers. Like, maybe we can get a better version of Tony Pollard. But let's switch gears here. Let's talk about guys people are trying to trade for. Let's skew positive here. TMP13 from my Discord said, I'm debating sending my mid to late 2024 first in Dynasty for a guy named Austin Eckler. Ever heard of him? My team is going to be in the playoffs regardless, so I really need him. I don't really only need him later. Can you ask if he's planning on playing versus the Raiders on Thursday Night Football in Week 15? Thanks in advance. Austin, let me tell you, that is a very win-now move in Dynasty. I know you're not as familiar with Dynasty as much as like the whole redraft thing, but right, this guy would be trading a mid to late first round pick in a rookie draft, like a guy that he's going to get and potentially have for the rest of his career for you. You know, I don't know. Are you going to be playing in week 15? I certainly think so. But how long are you going to be playing football in general, man?
Wow. Well, there's no guarantees, you know, in this thing that we call life, that are that far out anyway, that I can't guarantee anything that far out. Cause I mean, I don't even know what we're playing next week. I know we have, you know, the Jets on Monday Night Football. After that, I couldn't tell you, cause that's how my mind works. It's like one step at a time, one week at a time. Yeah, man, let's go make a run. Let's go make a run. You know, finally getting back on my feet and feeling like, okay, we're getting a rhythm going. I like how we're matching up against our upcoming opponents. And yeah, man, I think there's going to be a lot of upside and a lot of, you know, the old, you know, what you're used to seeing, the old Austin Eckler starting to come out. So I probably should have traded for myself either last week.
Before couldn't quite get that deal done.
It's gonna be a little harder now to get myself because they'd be like, oh, maybe he's back. But yeah, if you can grab me, and that's interesting because you're drafting for or you're using draft picks. That's an interesting concept. Because then it's like then you have me on your team for like foreseeable future, right?
Yes.
Like until I retire or something like that.
Well, unless they want to trade you later, right? Dynasty can be very like, I mean, the most active channel in my Discord for sure is the Dynasty Fantasy Trade channel. Like, people, it's very, they're very into the trades. They're very into the up and down. Like, is this guy, am I buying him high? Am I selling him low? I'm like, damn, sometimes I just like to have players on my roster that I like, you know, and not play this thing like it's the stock market, but to each your own out there.
You know, it's also interesting that play because this is my contract year. And so last year with the Chargers right now, potentially. So, you know, could be, potentially be on a new team next year. And so if you're looking next year, if you're trying to win right now, absolutely. I think it's the move. But you know, okay, we'll see what even happens next year. I mean, there's so many uncertainties, you know, beyond this. It's not like, oh, I have another 2 years with the Chargers. He's going to be back. And so we'll see. But as far as if you're trying to win now, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I like, if you're at this point of the season in Dynasty, especially, like, I get you're trying to build a team for the future, but try to win, man. Yeah, that's what are we playing fantasy football for if not to win a championship? So I've in the past made moves right around now in Dynasty where, like, all right, like last year I traded for Miles Sanders and like he ended up helping me kind of get, I didn't win the championship, but did get to the playoffs and everything. So we'll see what happens. But all right, one more trade for one before we move on here. This one's interesting. Griffin, shout out to Griffin, hell of a Discord contributor, asked about Javonte Williams, trying to trade for him coming off his ACL tear. He seems to finally have been let off the leash with an amazing playoff schedule. Might be an essential championship pickup. Javonte's interesting, man, because at times this year, he has been in a clear-cut committee. Like, it's been this guy, Jaleel McLaughlin. He's got some speed. He's an undersized guy. He's been in the mix. Samaje Perine, they picked him up in free agency. But then the last couple of weeks, man, he's been loaded up. 15 carries, 82 yards, 3 catches, 14 yards against the Green Bay Packers in week 7 and week 8 against the Chiefs in a big upset win. Guy got 27 carries for 85 yards, still 27 carries. To me, that speaks optimism, Austin, that, all right, the coaching staff is now comfortable with where this guy is at from a rehab perspective to start giving him, like, workhorse volume.
Yeah, it's showing. And seems like that's might be their identity, you know, going forward. They're gonna lean on that run game and get these guys going in the backfield, and that's probably why they have a committee where it's like, hey, guys, like, we're gonna rely on the run game. Like, that's what we're gonna need because that's gonna open us up in the pass game. And so I think that's probably one of the strengths of their offense. If they can get Javonte Williams going, absolutely, we know kind of player he is. He's a stud. I love watching him. Besides when we play him. And man, when we he gets back out there and healthy, he's rumbling, bumbling, you know, running through dudes, you know, like breaking tackles, making some awesome runs. And so just from a running back, you know, bias standpoint, I really hope that he's, yeah, out there healthy and they continue to lean on him and he continues to bring value to that team, because, man, he's going to be a stud and I'm excited to watch him. But yeah, the reps, obviously, you know, last week versus the Chiefs were, you know, 30 touches. Will he sustain that level? I don't think so. I don't think that's sustainable for anybody. honestly, but you know, even the week before that with 18 touches, that was kind of, that's in the range that he's been in. So maybe he's, you know, getting into a rhythm. You know, we're getting into midseason now, and in midseason, I feel like you really start to figure out, like, okay, who's doing what, who's good at what. You know, we talked about, you know, maybe some of the lower scoring, you know, offenses in the beginning of the year, because, you know, we're still trying to figure it out. Defenses kind of have the edge up, but now we start to click a little bit more during the season, as the season goes on as an offense. And so, you know, maybe that's the case for him as they're getting going here into November.
I like that call a lot. All right. And interesting too, one last thing on Javonte. Heading into his bye week here in week 9. So you can maybe try to trade, like, he might, number one, be healthier coming out of that bye week, but also you grab him now, you're kind of like, all right, this person, whoever has him in the league, is not going to be able to use him in week 9. That always slightly increases a player's, like, value in someone's mind, right? Like, all right, I can't play him this week, so he's not helping me. And if you don't need a running back to start this week, you can potentially trade from there. So it's just a little extra edge.
I think it'd be a solid trade pick.
I love it. All right. Austin, we're at the midway point of the season, 8 weeks in, 9 weeks to go in the fantasy season, unless you play week 18, which you should not. Like I said, essentially the halfway point here. So with that in mind, we wanted to offer up some of our biggest surprises of the first half of the season. So we'll each go with three here, a little secret list. I have no idea. The podcast listeners know I love a good secret list. I have no idea what Austin's going to say. He has no idea what I'm going to say. So let's go three of our biggest surprises.
Do you want to go one at a time?
Yeah, let's go one at a time. Let's alternate.
Okay, so my number one kind of surprise fantasy, maybe we have some overlap too, was Raheem Mostert.
He's on my list too, actually.
He's on your list?
Both Dolphins running backs were on my list. Nice. Devin Achane, the rookie, and Raheem Mostert, man.
Because, man, Raheem, like, every time he's been healthy, like, you can go look at his stats from the past, the minimum he's averaged is 4.9 yards a carry. And, you know, he kind of got going here last year. And that's per season anyway. And he kind of got going here last year, and now he's coming back healthy, staying healthy. And man, he is so dynamic. And he's obviously on the Dolphins, who just have a dynamic offense in general. But man, he's looking good. And shoot, like, this is a guy who's 31 years old. So it's like, okay, like, how much does he have left in the tank? Well, apparently it's a lot, and I'd love to see it too. Going back to my running back bias, like, love to see guys, you know, that are older than me that are like, okay, yeah, like, hey, we can still do this. And not saying that we're actually old, but just, you know, in general, in athlete terms, in athlete years. And so, yeah, years, seeing my guy ancient. Raheem go out there and be consistent and make plays is a cool thing to watch.
Yeah, he scored 12 touchdowns so far this year. He's currently the third highest scoring fantasy running back. And his teammate, like I said, Devon Achane, the rookie, is still running back 9 in fantasy. And he hasn't played for weeks, which just shows you some of the crazy stuff that they were doing. They've hit a little bit of a snag with this run game the last couple of weeks, but I do trust in Mike McDaniel and that infrastructure to sort of get it going at some point. So, yeah, he was on my list.
Okay.
Another guy on my list, though, my biggest surprise, I mean, it's got to be Rams wide receiver, the rookie, Puka Nacua. We'll see what happens now that Matthew Stafford, you know, is potentially dealing with an injury, might go on injured reserve. We'll see about that. But Puka has caught 61 passes for 795 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not only is that obviously the best performance from any rookie receiver so far this year, he is third among all wide receivers in receiving yards, and he's fourth among all receivers in fantasy points. I liked Puka a lot as a draft prospect. I thought he was he went too late. I really liked the rugged approach that he brings to the wide receiver position. I love a wide receiver that loves to block. And I'm all about that with Puka. I still didn't see him having 795 damn yards as a rookie, right? So he's got to be one of the biggest surprises to me.
I would have 100% agree with you. I think you you know, explained it very well. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely been one of the standouts. Another one for me, who has been a guy who's actually been there, done that, but kind of, you know, there are people that were kind of like like, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And even his team, because now he's on a new team, but Adam Thielen.
I was on, dude, he's on my list as well.
Let's go. Let's go. Hey, we think, you know, we're on the same page here.
Yeah. Adam, it's like we're watching the same games or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we watch. Yeah, yeah. It's like maybe we know what we're talking about here when we're talking about standouts. Well, but the guy perhaps that was kind of, you know, consistent, and you know, his team's like, ah, you know, maybe he's not the number one guy anymore like he was. Well, I guess, you know, one of those top players, as he was for the Vikings, right? That's where he was before here.
Yes, correct.
And now with Carolina has really started stepping up, and we're kind of seeing some of that old consistent, you know, he's going to get 100 yards at a touchdown type of performance. And he's been back on it. You know, he's on pace for, you know, another 1,000 yard season. And man, he's been really showing out over there for Carolina.
He's caught 81.4% of his passes, which is like crazy efficient. Among guys that are the top 12 scorers at the position in fantasy, only CeeDee Lamb, throw that guy the ball more, is higher with 82.1% catch rate. Adam Thielen, man, is a great lesson in, especially at the wide receiver position. Like, I think people thought like, oh, he's washed, right? I mean, there are a lot of people that said that this offseason, like, this guy's washed, he's cooked, he can't play anymore. It's like, well, he maybe at 33 years old can't play in his old role when he was like an outside receiver, but in Carolina they've moved him into the slot, which is a position he's actually played before. When Steph Diggs was there in Minnesota, he was kind of that big slot receiver for them. So it's not as if it was learning a whole new position or anything. It's kind of going back to an old role, and that is, I think, easier with some of these receivers as they age, kind of lessens the learning or the aging curve when you could put them inside. So he's a good lesson that, yeah, and he was, like I said, he was going to be on my list as well. Nice. A guy that I didn't expect to be this productive at all, but I think it's not crazy. I mean, it's crazy he's putting up those numbers, but it's not totally surprising that he's been able to be productive in kind of a not too dissimilar role to like how the Chargers use Keenan Allen.
Right, right. I 100% agree. And yeah, Keenan's up there too. As far as like, this is year 10 for him. And he's still able to continue to put up that type of production because of the role that he's playing, right? He's not a take the top off, you know, and sprinting down the field. Like, he's getting into these spaces and the zones, and you don't have to be the fastest, you know. One of the best to do is Travis Kelce. You know, he's a huge body. You know, he's not going to beat you with speed, but just the chemistry he has with his quarterback to get open and get in those spaces shows that, you know, there's a lot of feel when it comes to being in that middle part of the field and not necessarily just pure speed that's going to get it done. So, yeah, I think that's a great spot for him. Yeah, similar to Keenan, that was a good Keenan. That was a good comparison.
I'll just go with one more since you took two from my list. Well, I'll just throw one more out here. Travis Etienne, to me, has been a big surprise. He's the second highest scoring running back right now. I liked Etienne coming in this year, but again, similar to what we talked about with some of these guys, where I liked them, but I didn't think they'd be doing this, what he's been doing so far. Seven touchdowns so far this year on the ground, one through the air. And I would argue, Austin, that not only has he been a really good player in fantasy, and he's obviously been good for the Jaguars, but I think Jacksonville maybe didn't expect him to be this much of a workhorse, right? They drafted a rookie running back in Tank Bigsby, who hasn't really been able to carve out a role there so far. And it's made because their defense has been better than expected and their run game has been better than expected. It's why, like, their passing game hasn't quite clicked all the way, but they're still 6-2. And I think a lot of it is because of those two factors being better than expected.
I would 100% agree. I was watching this guy's game the other day. Because when you have Sunday Night Football, you get to watch all the games, but he's dynamic. He's running hard. He's in the right spots. He's making people miss. He is playing at, yes, an elite level right now. I would 100% agree with you. That is a great pick. I should have put that one on there. 100% agree. My last one was Sam Laporta, guy who's just been consistent and kind of was like, oh, yeah, like, there was expectations for this guy, but it was like, man, he has really come alive in that role with the Lions at the tight end spot. So that was my, that was my last little surprise standout.
Yeah, rookie tight ends typically don't produce a ton, but so far he's been the fourth best tight end in fantasy so far, which is not a fun position to try to figure out in fantasy. So if you got if you could draft this guy late or you picked him up off waiver wires, it's a pretty huge win. So all right, those are some good surprises. Let's close this show as we do every week with our bold predictions. All right, Austin, since we're teaming up this season with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories. We're going to create some new memories of our own in this segment we are calling Future Snapshots. So, Austin, make me a bold prediction. Who is going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
Well, well, my curse is back.
Is back, baby. Is back.
It's back because I went with Isaiah Pacheco against the Denver Broncos defense, and KC just wasn't ready to play or what. I don't know what happened there, but that was a big oof. So shout out to Jonathan Taylor for being my only crack at this. So all righty, yes. So to get my streak back to one. This week, I'm leaning on my guy, Alvin Kamara, who is going against a team that I just played against with the Bears. So I am giving my bold prediction for Alvin Kamara going over 100 all-purpose yards and getting himself in the end zone twice. Twice. That's the bold part of it. Yes. So Alvin Kamara, you're going to crush it this week. Let's see it.
I like that call. I said last week that Dalton Kincaid was going to score two touchdowns on Thursday night. He only scored one, but he had himself a pretty decent game. So I'm going to give myself a C+ instead of an F.
Maybe a C-.
Oh, okay, fine. I will give myself a C-.
What was your draft grade?
That will be enough of that. we're talking about bold predictions for Toyota here, Austin. Let's stay on task with the sponsor, not my draft grade, which is neither here nor there. Although, so far it's been pretty damn accurate based on how my team has performed. Okay. Serious business. I'm going to go on Thursday night again this week, and I'm going to say that DeAndre Hopkins will finish inside the top three receivers again. Just like he did last week, where he caught three touchdowns, three of Will Levis, their rookie quarterback's four passing touchdowns last week, went to DeAndre Hopkins. I think Hopkins has been proving, if you've been watching him this year, he's, like we said with Adam Thielen, he might not be the same player that he once was, but he is not done. He can still contribute at a really high level as an outside receiver, different from Adam Thielen there. And Will Levis got back there and he was like, I am just firing this thing downfield. I'm ripping it to DeAndre Hopkins. Some of those may be a little fluky, whatever. But if you look at the Steelers, they've been very susceptible to getting beat by outside perimeter receivers. Calvin Ridley, who's been a little inconsistent this year, had 10 targets against him last week, went over 80 yards. Brandon Ayuk, we remember back in week one, had a massive game against them. Even Davante Adams, who's been struggling in other games, absolutely dominated the Steelers defense. So I think another older guy here in Hopkins, he's going to be a top three receiver once again this week.
Nice. Like it.
All right. Well, there you go. See, we are making memories here every day on Eckler's Edge, even when Austin trashes me for my draft grade. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. All right, Austin, that is going to do it for us. Shout out to you. Hell of a show, man.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Looking forward to the month of November. It's time for getting to these cold months. This is when football for me, I feel like, really feels like everyone's getting into a rhythm and it's like, hey, it's time to kind of start separating or get on a run. So that's what we're looking to do this week and looking forward to next week.
Do you like playing cold games?
I'm in California, man. I've been here for 7 years. No, I hate cold games, but hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, there's some people that's like, oh, all football should be played in the dome. Get them away from elements. But Austin's like, doesn't sound like such a bad idea. I'm not the one who has to play in them, but I like watching cold weather games sometimes. But again, I'm not the one that's got to go out there in freezing temperatures
it's nice
and get my ass
kicked. From the comfort of your, living room couch, like, oh man, it's probably cold out there. Well, it is. It is cold, damn it.
The beautiful scenery, the snow on the players, that looks so wonderful on my TV. Meanwhile, Austin's out there like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, you're cozy up in your blanket, with your hot chocolate, with your fantasy app in front of you, maybe red zone over here, this over here, and like nice and cozy. And I'm out there, being a warrior out there, bashing into people. And when it's cold, it hurts more too. Just because I feel like the body isn't as necessarily loose. The skin like gets slapped and it's cold, So, at this point, I've been doing this as long as I can remember. I'm from Colorado, played in several cold games.
What a wonderful description to end the podcast of Austin, a warrior out there in the snow games. And he's insinuating that I'm under a cold little blankie with my hot chocolate. That's how I consume football. Another outrageous slight at me. But you know what? I guess I deserve it. All right.
Is that not accurate? What's it look like then? What's Matt Harmon on game day?
Mostly standing up, stressing, even if I'm not stressed about anything. It's just a lot of information to take in. I am not a hot chocolate guy. There are only three acceptable liquids to drink at any time. Water, coffee, and booze. But not on Sunday because I'm working, all right?
Yes, of course.
It's a work day for me. I can't be under my little blankie with my hot chocolate. Like, okay, give me a break.
All right. Maybe that was a little too far.
Yeah. Outrageous. All right, that will be about enough. That's gonna do it for today's show. Appreciate everybody that sent in their submissions to the mailbag. We're gonna come up with some more mailbag segments to do with you all as the season rolls on. But for now, tomorrow, this week, it's Thursday, so you know what that means. Heading into a full slate of NFL action. Dalton Del Don joins me for another episode of Stat Nerd Thursday, where we look at the most revealing stats that you need to know for all 32 teams. Until then, we're out.